Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana.
And I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma. We call ourselves Garden Angelus because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening, and we want you to love it too.
Yes, we do. We are also authors and invite you to check out our books, including my books, Potted and Pruned, Homegrown and Handpicked, and Seeded and Sodded, my trilogy of gardening humor, and my new book, Creatures and Critters, Who's in My Garden?
And my book, The 2030-Something Garden Guide, and No Fuss, Down and Dirty, Gardening 101 for anyone who wants to grow stuff. You can ask for any of our books at your favorite bookstore or find them online wherever books are sold.
And speaking of online, you can also find us as The Garden Angelist on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and occasionally Pinterest. And we'd love for you to join our Facebook group, The Garden Angelist Garden Club.
Now on to this week's episode on gardening with children.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Carol.
How are you today?
You know what? I'm great. I didn't go to sleep till 2 a.m., but I am ready to rock and roll this morning.
Let's start with our garden updates, was just what I was going to say. Hey, my garden is rocking and rolling. I got the peppers and tomatoes planted yesterday.
Awesome. And you got some rain?
Got 2.4 inches of rain overnight, which is a lot of rain.
Yeah, that's a lot at one time. We do that occasionally, too.
So the peppers and tomatoes are out there swimming in the garden. There's quite a bit of standing water, but I think they'll be okay. It threatened to rain all day yesterday, but I gardened all day long. I had a few sprinkles on me, but it just goes to show, don't wait for the rain. Just keep it going. If it's going to rain, it'll rain. But don't sit around waiting for the rain.
I did that on Saturday. I gardened in the rain, and I did it on Friday and maybe Thursday. I mean, it's just been raining. And so I went and walked in the rain, too. And Bill was like, did you get all sweaty when you were outside? And I said, no, this is my hair. It's wet because of the rain. So it was that misty kind of rain. In my garden, the tomatoes and peppers are growing gangbusters. And so is the eggplant. I'm having a little bit of trouble with that leaf beetle that eats eggplants. I may not be saying that right. I have trouble with those every year.
The flea beetles.
I should cover my eggplant, but I don't. They usually come out of it. I go and I rinse them off really hard with water and rub the underside of the leaves, and eventually they grow out of the flea beetle damage and we go on. But I'm having a little bit of trouble with that. The tomatoes all look good. The peppers all look good. I'm harvesting lettuce. I thought I was going to have to harvest it all in 2 days, but then we had a big cool front come through again. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my bees. Well, a lot of trouble with my bees, but we'll talk about that another day. So if people want to know about my bee trouble, they can go visit me on Instagram.
That's a good idea. So the other thing that's got me concerned in my garden is I have a couple of trees that really did not like being frozen out twice.
Yeah.
So they are very slow to leaf out, and I am watching the honey locust, the pawpaws, and a ginkgo. So we shall see in the weeks to come. I see tiny little leaves, but it's like, oh, you're going to need a lot more leaves than that.
We've had some freezes like that. Yeah. I think they'll be fine come June.
I do too.
They're just being, you know, what is it called? Once burned, twice shy. In your case, it's twice burned, thrice shy.
Right. Right. We'll see. Tiny little leaves coming out, but we need a lot more.
No kidding.
So let's get on with our quote. We got a great episode. We're going to talk about gardening with kids. So here's the first quote. Why try to explain miracles to your kids when you can just have them plant a garden? By Robert Brault.
I love that quote. That's a beautiful one.
It is.
Yeah, I think children especially are open to miracles in the garden.
They are. And I know from my great niece and nephews how much they love to get out in the garden. So let's talk about flowers for kids.
Flowers.
This is easy.
Go big and bright. Go big and bright and bold and grow with things that grow quickly. And what would that all be? Sunflowers.
Zinnias, marigolds, sunflowers, even cosmos.
Yes.
Easy peasy.
You just put the seeds in the ground. You do not have to grow sunflowers in a cup. In fact, they don't like to be transplanted into the garden soil. But kids love them, and they love all those seeds. And the nice thing about sunflowers is those seeds are huge. So little bitty hands can hold on to them.
Right. And the other thing is, if you have a garden center or greenhouse nearby and it is appropriately socially distanced, taking kids to those places and letting them pick out a few annual flowers to plant is also a great idea.
Right. Something that smells good, like sweet alyssum, would be a good plant for little kids, which we've talked about in a previous episode. I was also having a thought about, like, our friend Sharon Lovejoy. She has that whole book called Sunflower House. I know that's not her book of the week, but that's a good way to get kids involved. Megan, my 20, gosh, how old is that child now? 27. My 27-year-old that had the baby, she still talks about her sunflower house. And I just think that that's a great way to get kids involved. You want stuff that grows fast, and you want stuff that blooms fast so that they don't get bored, because kids have a short attention span.
They do. And I still remember as a kid going to the, we didn't have like big garden centers back when I was a kid, but going places and my dad would let us pick out a few little packets of flower seeds. And sometimes we'd pick out a few flowers to plant.
So I have a question for you. What's your favorite zinnia? I'm just asking you this off the top of your head.
Lordy, I don't know. I love them all. I mean, I don't really...
You don't have a
to
favorite?
To me, zinnias are all of them.
All of them. I mean, okay.
I like the Queenie Lime Orange because I think it's a great color. I like Envy because it's green. I like all of them. And the thing is, they have the dahlia flowered or the cactus flowered ones with so many petals. I like those.
Yeah, they have the little ones, the little tiny Mexican zinnias too.
I like the peppermint stripe ones. I mean, I can't think of one I don't like.
There's a zinnia for everyone. And I was thinking about with sunflowers, if you don't have a lot of space or you don't have room to build a towering sunflower house, what you could do is plant a small variety like teddy bear.
Yes, I've planted teddy bear before. It's very funny because it's still a huge bloom, but it's on a little short plant.
Right, and kids would get such a kick out of that, and it doesn't take up too much room. So lots of different things you can do, and if you don't have a garden and you're listening to a gardening podcast because I guess you want a garden someday, you can take your kids to the park.
True that.
I mean, who doesn't want a garden,
true,
right?
Everybody wants a garden. There is another quote that's been going around on social media, and it is, and I know it's from Liberty Hyde Bailey, and I probably, if you start chattering, I'll turn around and get the book, but it talks about how a garden can just be a plant in a tin can.
Well, and I think that's true. I think you can garden anywhere. Right now, I'm growing all of my tomatoes in smart pots and in another kind of container called grassroots containers. So it's a good way to garden. And then my friend Letitia Waters Pierce has Garden Anywhere Box, which are these big containers that are self-watering. And there's lots of ways to have a garden. You do not have to have the back 40 plowed up, which I talk about a lot in my book too. Did you find it?
Right. And here I have the book. It's called, I told you it was right behind me.
I chattered.
The book is called Garden Make. What?
I chattered. I did exactly what you told me to do.
Garden Making, Suggestions for the Utilizing of Home Gardens by Liberty Hyde Bailey, 1902. And he writes, every family can have a garden. If there is not a foot of land, there are porches or windows. Wherever there is sunlight, plants may be made to grow, and one plant in a tin can may be a more helpful and inspiring garden to some mind than a whole acre of lawn and flowers may be to another.
Yeah. Exactly. We think we invented container gardening, but look at that, from 1902. So that leads us right into our next quote, if you're done talking about flowers for kids.
Well, I wanted to say that I bought this other book, and it was right next to the Liberty Hyde Bailey book, but it's called
We're just going to go through Carol's library
this
today.
This one's
on
called
show.
Happy Days in the Garden, and it's from 1944, and it's about these two kids, and It's really a charming little garden book, and it's got nice little diagrams, and probably hard to find, but it's like the parents have to leave for the summer, and the kids plant a garden with their babysitter or whatever, and then the parents come back and are oh so surprised at the wonderful vegetable garden that they grew.
That's cute. It kind of reminds me of the boxcar children, where the children don't have any parents at all. which I think is kind of every kid's little fantasy, is not to have parents telling them what to do.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, let's move on to vegetables.
To plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow. That's by Audrey Hepburn.
A very famous quote.
Very famous.
To us.
Well, I think to most people.
So,
so what's our veggie topic?
Our veggie is, my gosh, you could get kids so involved in the vegetable garden because there are so many wonderful things to grow. And it's interesting to see what will grow out there and for kids to see how things grow.
And so picked vegetables that kids like to grow and like to play with, which is cherry tomatoes. That's a perfect one. And you can grow cherry tomatoes in any container.
Yes.
I mean, it is not hard to grow. Well, okay. You can't grow them in a tin can, but you can grow them in most containers. And so cherry tomatoes are great. In fact, I've planted 2 sun gold cherry tomatoes on my back deck in a pot right next to the chairs so that when we sit out there of an evening, we can eat cherry tomatoes while we talk. And I love that idea.
My sister does that at her house. She always has containers of cherry tomatoes on her deck because for whatever reason, they're not big tomato eaters. So she had me buy her some vegetable plants for her garden because I was going to the greenhouse. And she says, we need 1 big tomato, meaning like Big Boy or Beefmaster. And
a slicer.
1 slicer. Right. And then she only needed cherry tomatoes because they're just not into them.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? That's another thing about cherry tomatoes is you don't need very many plants because they produce so many tomatoes. So many. Now tell us how many cherry tomatoes you have, Carol.
I planted a whole bunch. But, you know, in my defense, I plant them in this section that gets a little bit too much shade, so they don't get as vigorous, but you get enough off of them. So I... Mm-hmm.
How many?
Oh, let me guess. I planted them yesterday. I didn't count. I probably have 20.
20 cherry tomatoes?
Well, I got
that's
like,
crazy.
But I've got
listeners,
like 10 different
listeners,
varieties.
That's crazy. I have 4.
I have
4 cherry tomatoes.
I have 10 different... I have like... Black cherry and Tasmanian chocolate. And
I love black cherry.
I have a couple of currant tomato varieties, which are even smaller than cherries.
Right.
I grew red currant from seed and I gave one to my sister to grow with her grandson. He loves the currant tomatoes because he's 5 and he has his favorite tomatoes.
I love them too.
And then the greenhouse
he's so cute.
Down the road, they had a heirloom variety called sweet pea currant tomato. So I had to get that.
Hmm. Of course you did. Yeah. I have black cherry, and then I think Doug's Delight is a cherry tomato. And then National Garden Bureau sent us some tomatoes, and I bet you one of those is a cherry. I haven't looked it up. I did get it planted, but I haven't looked it up yet.
You know what?
In fact, 2 of them may be cherries. Cause
I haven't planted those out yet, and I need to figure.
Well, we should look them up for next time. So we've talked a lot about cherry tomatoes. Let's move on. Green beans are a great plant for kids to grow because you can, again, plant the seeds, and they're huge, and they're very rewarding because they come up very fast. And where I pulled up my lettuce this week, I put in green beans.
And summer squash is good because you can get a nice, huge plant, and then those squash come on. Those are fun.
Unless you live in Oklahoma and sometimes the squash bugs. Okay, most of the time the squash bugs get them. But I was going to say about green beans, if you want to do, I usually do bush green beans and I think Carol does too. But if you want to plant pole green beans, you could do that on your sunflower house instead of doing morning glories. You know, it doesn't have to just be a flower house. It can also have green beans, and then kids can eat green beans raw in the garden, and they're delicious.
They are delicious.
So the next thing after summer squash, which I love summer squash, and I will probably try to grow it again, even though it's probably a mistake. I do have this new thing that has a cover, and I might put my summer squash in there because it actually has a big cover that you fold down. I'm going to give that a try, Carol.
You should give that a try, Dee.
I'm going to do that. Okay, and the next thing would be strawberries.
Yum.
And there's new strawberries on the market that have red blooms, and there's several different varieties out there, and I'm already getting strawberries. They are kind of elongated, and they look more like an alpine strawberry than a, you know, big, juicy, June-bearing strawberry, but who cares? You're just planting them to eat them off the plant. I'm not planning them to can them.
And you know what, Dee? I had a socially distanced visit to my sister, and my niece lives around the corner, and she's the one, she has a new baby too. But her son showed me around the garden, and they had the strawberries with the red blooms on them. They had got them at the store.
Yeah, I bought some, and then Proven Winners has one called Buried Treasure. And then I bought another variety, and I can't remember the name of it, but I got it at the store. You can order the, if you can't find Buried Treasure at like Home Depot, that's where it was last year, you can definitely order it online from Proven Winners. They now ship. And then I bought some at Westlake Hardware. And then watermelons. I can't grow a watermelon to save my life, Carol. I've grown one, I think.
Well, see, I would think that you would be able to grow watermelons more than I would because you have a longer growing season and they need some time.
I mean, they grow and I get fruit, but it never really ripens or I don't know. And you know what? Maybe they just know I don't like it that much.
Could be. Could be your negative vibes are affecting the watermelon from ripening, Dee.
Maybe. And then there's pumpkins.
Definitely got to grow pumpkins with kids. First of all, it's a mammoth vine.
It'll take over your whole garden.
Instead of going to the store to buy your pumpkins or going to a pumpkin patch, you can pick them right in your own yard.
Mm-hmm. We got some seeds this year from a pumpkin that's blue from National Garden Bureau. That'll be interesting.
Right.
So, again, if you have no garden, it's no problem. They grow well in containers, all of those, in big containers for green beans and pumpkins. So why do you like containers? I know why I like them.
Well, you like them because you can do drip irrigation in them pretty easily. And since you have that root knot nematode problem or whatever in your garden, putting the plants in smart pots helps that problem. I don't know why else you love them.
I love them because they have no weeds. There's no weeding in containers. Now, the second year you use the potting soil, there'll be some weeds, but you're going to refresh that potting soil anyway with a good layer of compost or maybe some more potting soil where you've pulled out your other plants, you know, some new potting soil. So I'm telling you, they're so easy, no weeds. Containers are easy to find online right now, but they're sold out everywhere locally, I've heard. Because gardening is popular.
I hear gardening is popular, but to me, gardening feels the same, except what are all these people doing at the greenhouse buying them out before I get my plants?
All those people are doing what we've been asking them to do for years now. They're gardening, which I think is good. You just have to get there early.
I did get there early, and I got all the plants I need, so I might go get some more. It's no might about it. I'm going to go get some more. We especially like the smart pots, which are fabric pots. They're easy.
With handles. I like the handles.
And I've got two with handles. And so I just planted rather late. I planted some potatoes in one. And then the other one, I planted a tomato that's called Silvery Fir. And it's got sort of a...
Pretty.
It's an heirloom variety. In the greenhouse, they got my number and she talked me into it. It's almost got a filigree-like foliage. That's why they call it Silvery Fir. And I looked it up and it said it was good in containers. And I'm like, that's good because I'm out of room in the garden. So in the container.
Yeah, I have so many containers. In fact, this afternoon on Instagram, I'm going to do an IGTV on how the vegetable garden is growing right now. But if you can't find smart pots anymore or grassroots pots or any of the other pots out there that are foldable and stackable, you can actually grow tomatoes and peppers in 5-gallon buckets as long as you drill holes in the bottom. Drill several holes because they're plastic and you want all that water to go down. So speaking of that, I've gotten a bunch of questions this week about what you should put in the bottom of your pots for drainage. I know Carol knows the answer.
Nothing.
Exactly. Nothing. For years and years and years, they were telling us, and I had told people early on this too, because it was the reigning thought at the time, that you should put pieces of pottery or, you know, just all kinds of things to take up some of the room. But we now know through several studies that it drains better if you just put in potting soil.
And related to that, I have two thoughts on that. One of them is...
Yep. What?
Here's another container idea for you. So, you know, you can buy a 40-pound bag of topsoil.
Oh, I know about this container. This is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. You cut a couple of holes in the bottom of the bag. And then you just plant in the bag on top, and people have grown, I know friends who've grown tomatoes and things in them and says it works pretty well. And you could probably stand the bag on its end if you want it to be more upright, but the bag itself with proper drainage holes can be your planting container if worse comes to worse.
Right. I knew a person who did a whole garden, and they just took giant bags of potting soil, 40-pound bags, and they put in, or 3-cubic-yard bags, and they put in the slit down the middle, and then, you know, put holes in the bottom first, and then slit down the middle of the top, and they grew whole gardens in it, and it worked great. And then when they were done with the potting soil, they put it in their compost pile. Yeah, that works. If that's what you want to do, that works. I tend to like a prettier aesthetic, but I can get why that's really popular. If you can find good organic potting soil, try to get it. We've been watching Gardener's World, and in England, they're even more tied down than we are in the United States in many places, except for New York, and people can't get to the store. And so they've been letting them actually use garden dirt in their containers, which, you know, we've always preached against because it kind of clumps up. If you can get good organic potting soil, just buy it. I'm trying 3 different kinds right now. I'm testing them.
There you go. I need to go to the store and get some more because I used up the last of my bags that I had saved back from last year on the potatoes and the tomatoes in the bags. I have one other thought on these containers.
Oh, okay.
And I can't remember what it was because, you know, my mind is like a sieve.
Okay, that's all right. Yeah, mine is too sometimes. Tomatoes, plant them deep. That's one other thing. You can plant them all the way up to where they're on the first, like, 2 to 4 leaves. But you've got to watch out for cutworms. I had a cutworm attack, of all things, a queen of Siam, Thai basil.
Yeah.
It crawled to the top of the tag, and then it cut off the plant right at the top of the tag.
Crazy.
Nothing you can do about that.
No, those things are horrible. Speaking of tags, reminds me of labels, and it's fun to let kids help make labels for the plants using popsicle sticks or whatever. And, you know, I'm sure Pinterest is just flooded with ideas for plant labels.
You know they are.
But that helps the kid. You know, the more that they can do themselves, you know, like, they can help put the soil in the container. They can help plant it. They can help make the label and stick it in there. And then they help water it, and they take ownership of that. And that's how the seed of gardening gets planted in young minds.
Indeed. That sounded really profound. They can also take your labels and mix them all up the way my kids did when I was early planting seeds. One day I came in and they had just taken all the labels out of my plants and I cried. But that's okay. Kids will do that too, and that's just part of parenting. So our next quote, Carol.
I still find each day too short for all the thoughts I want to think, all the walks I want to take, all the books I want to read, and all the friends I want to see. John Burroughs.
I would love to see my friends and not see them on Zoom, but that's okay. I see you on Skype, which helps, but, you know, I wish I could see my friends. And also, I will say that when I got in my 50s, this is a very true statement. My days are really, really short now. I look up 1 minute and it's this time, and then all of a sudden it's lunchtime, then dinner time. You had a day like that yesterday.
It's crazy like that, how short days are. When you were a kid, remember when an afternoon seemed like an eternity? And you just thought
forever.
The clock had stopped, especially when you were in school. The clock has stopped. I know it stopped. But yeah, time flies. Everybody knows it. But we have something on the bookshelf we're pretty excited about.
That we are very, very excited about this book.
Yes, it's very good. You ready?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
It's called Gardening with Emma.
It's a book written for kids by a kid, and it's really, really good.
Yes. And it's Emma Biggs, and her dad, Stephen Biggs, helped her. But it's her writing this book. It's very endearing to read, and you just kind of feel some hope for the future of gardening, knowing that there are young people like Emma and that are involved in gardening. So we wanted to give a shout out to that book.
Oh my gosh, we want you guys to buy this book, because if you have kids in your life, this book is really, really wonderful. It has large type. It has projects for kids. It talks about what matters to kids in gardens, which I promise you is completely different than what matters to us as adults, right? It has
that is true.
Nice slick paper. In terms of it's nice and thick. It's not like little hands can turn it. And how old is Emma? I think is she 15?
She might be 15 now, but I think she was like 12 or 13 when she wrote the book.
Right. And it came out last year. She is endearing. She loves gardening. She and her dad garden together. And it just charmed the pants off of us.
I believe that they have a weekly radio show. We'll have to check that out and put a link out there. And Emma is also on Instagram, so you can follow her on Instagram. She really, really, really loves to grow tomatoes. Grows a ton of tomato varieties from seed. They also do a lot of straw bale gardening on their driveway, and so there's a lot about that. And so I think you ought to check it out, folks. Check it out.
We really, and we did not, we were not given this book in terms of a publisher giving it to us. We came across it in another way, and so we are really, just really, really excited about the book. So
there you go. We're going to have a link in the show notes to that book. If you've got kids, get the book.
Our next quote is, "Dirt used to be a badge of honor. Dirt used to look like work, but we've scrubbed the dirt off of the face of work, and consequently, we've created this suspicion of anything that's too dirty." And that's from Mike Rowe, who's got his own podcast, has several books under his belt. He used to be on a show called Dirty Jobs. One of my favorite shows, honestly, because my husband and family, we work in a dirty job. I work in gardening, and my husband works in paving. He's a paving contractor. And I just admire people who can do things. And so we chose this because our dirt section is on
dirt. Right. And dirt is good for you. And so there are a lot of studies out there. And, you know, it's one of those things that almost becomes a myth on the internet. Oh, dirt can't really be good for you. But you can actually hunt down scientific studies that show that the bacteria that's in dirt helps to improve your mood.
Right.
And also improves your helps boost your immune system.
And I think one thing that the coronavirus has done for families is it's given them a lot of time to be together. And so we see people out walking with their kids, out walking their dogs, playing outside if they're able to. And I think that's probably one of the best things that came out of this is families getting to play together and be in the dirt together.
Exactly. And I have to say, I went to when I was out at my sister's social distancing, there's one area that isn't planted in her garden. It's like around a tree. And I says, "Well, what are you going to plant here?" And she says, "Nothing." That's where her grandkids like to dig in the dirt. She says, "So we're not planting anything." They go out and dig.
Yep. And you know what? I used to have a section of my garden when my son and daughter, well, I have four kids, three daughters and one son, but I had a son who loved Tonka trucks and backhoes and all of those, you know, Tonka toys. And so he would go out and he had his own section of the garden where he just basically reshaped dirt areas. And you know what? He learned a lot about gardening. He doesn't garden much because why would he? He can just come here and get tomatoes. But he does talk a lot about how important all of that was to him to get to play in the dirt. And he's now in the paving industry. So I guess it worked.
I guess it all paid off.
I guess so.
Keeping your kids in the dirt. So anyway, we encourage this. This is all about gardening with kids. We encourage you to get your kids out in the garden, get your grandkids out in the garden. And like we said, it could be a tin can, not literally probably a tin can, but it doesn't have to be a big elaborate garden for kids to get their hands dirty and learn a little bit at the same time and get some cherry tomatoes to eat.
Yeah. And they love cherry tomatoes. My kids still love them. So I can't wait to show my granddaughter the garden. She's just a little small, though.
That's true. Well, that's it for this week. We want to thank you for listening to The Garden Angelist. If you like our podcast, please tell your friends about us.
And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we'd love a review. That helps us get noticed by others.
Yes, and be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the garden gate today. Bye until next time.
Bye.